God, thanks for this time. God, thank you for just being a family in San Francisco.
Yeah.
God.
Seeing your church grow. God, thanks that Brianna is getting baptized.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lord God, thanks so much for the other people who are going after you with all their hearts and want to become disciples as well. Father, we love you. We pray for an awesome study right now. Mm-hmm. God, we pray all this in your awesome son, Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
Come on, you, Mike.
We're doing persecution. No, persecution will not be on the thing. I may ask an extra credit question on the persecution study, but it won't be a part of the test itself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 2 Timothy 3:12. So it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible gave you warning that if you want to be a godly person and live a life in Christ Jesus, now you have your forewarning that, guess what's coming? Persecution's coming your way. And the Bible says, we got to jump for joy. We'll get there in a second. But welcome to Christianity. Welcome to a godly life. Anybody who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And guess who was persecuted that we follow?
Jesus.
Jesus was persecuted. Point number one.
Amen.
And we're going to look at the scope of persecution. But number one, he was persecuted by his family. Yeah. So let's go to Mark chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Verse 20, it says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him. For they said, he is out of his mind. So here, Jesus' family thought Jesus was crazy, out of his mind, brainwashed, that somebody had messed him up, and he'd become a religious robot just doing crazy stuff that he'd never even learned and just being insane. There's the beginning. His family persecuted. Let's keep going on. Mark 3:31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister. And mother.
Come on.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that is awesome.
So, again, Jesus' family not only thinks he's crazy, they come to take control. They get there.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, you could just, this is one of those scenes in the Bible you wish you could see in person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in the house, it's packed. You're sitting around in a circle. I mean, isn't that cool that everybody's sitting in a circle around Jesus?
Oh.
Like, that must have been pretty awesome, pretty special, just to be in a circle around Jesus.
Yeah.
And then as Jesus is talking, and it's like the most amazing time of your life, somebody comes in and says, hey, Jesus, your mother and brothers are outside. And of course, I would imagine if I was sitting in the circle, I would actually think, oh, okay, we're going to take a quick break. He's going to go talk to his family. And it's his family.
Right.
And then he's going to come back in, and we'll probably continue. Mm. And then Jesus says, who are my mother and brothers?
Yeah.
And then he looks around us, he says, here are my mother and brothers and sisters. Whoever does God's will. And I would be sitting there and think, this is radical. This is going to be a crazy ride right here. Follow this guy. Because he doesn't mess around.
Yeah.
He is committed. And you see what happens. Even when Jesus gets persecuted by his physical family, He prioritizes his spiritual family. Right. Amen?
Amen?
This is very, very important, especially for you young Christians.
Yep.
Because this is a big change in the way you live.
Yep.
Guess who's your real family?
God's
the disciples.
Come on, bro.
Amen?
Amen?
That's your true family.
Yeah.
At least if you're following Jesus, it is.
Come on, bro.
And so, for us, seeing we need, even when we're persecuted by our family, to prioritize our spiritual family.
Come on,
amen?
Bro.
This is radical.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Amen.
People will think you're insane for even doing this.
Yeah.
It's a radical thing.
Yeah.
But in the end, let's see what happens. Acts chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro. Where did you preach it, bro?
Verse 12. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer. So here's the disciples. They're all meeting. It's dangerous to be meeting his disciples right about now, because Jesus just got killed. And then it finally says, verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
Wow.
So here you get to see something amazing. Jesus' family became disciples.
Yeah.
How? Because Jesus prioritized his spiritual family. He didn't waver on his convictions as a disciple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here, the conviction to say, I'm a disciple, produces conflict. You better bet his mother and brothers were ticked when they find out he's not coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they traveled so far. You got to walk in those days. They walked all the way there, and Jesus doesn't even come out. You say, man, that doesn't sound sensitive and loving and caring. I mean, imagine your family's outside, worried about you, and you say, I'm not coming out. This is my real family.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did, and it won his family.
Yeah.
See, even over the holidays, are you more caring about spending time with your physical family or your spiritual family?
Come on.
Come on, bro.
Are you caring more like, oh, I can't wait to go spend time with my real family?
Come on, bro.
No. Jesus would say, man, I can't wait to hang with the disciples on holidays. This is my real family.
Right?
And without that conviction, we'll never be Jesus' church. Amen?
Yeah.
The awesome thing is that because Jesus didn't waver on that conviction, it won his family over. They became disciples. Wouldn't you want to see your family in this room too?
Yes.
Yeah.
And see, when we hold that conviction, when our family persecutes us, in the end, it'll win them to Christ as well.
Yeah.
But it's painful at first because they're offended when you have that kind of conviction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
So, amen. Let's go to the next one. Point. Second part of point one of Jesus being persecuted. Jesus was persecuted through gossip and slander.
Come on, bro.
Let's go to John chapter 7.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Mike.
It says, among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he's a good man. Others replied, no. He deceives the people. But no one could say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. So here we see something intense. Some people are saying, Jesus is awesome. Other people say, no way. No, he's not. He's tricking people and deceiving people. And so then in the end, they're all afraid, though, because they didn't know what want the Jews to think anything bad about, the Pharisees. So here we see something. Jesus was accused and persecuted by people saying he deceives people. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
That somebody literally accused Jesus of, he's trying to trick you. He's saying one thing, but he's really trying to do something else.
Wow.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
Because you don't think, you never see that in those movies about Jesus. You know what I mean? Like Jesus standing up on the hill talking, and everybody's like, wow, this is so great. Mm-hmm. But you don't see the people say, no, he's trying to trick you right now.
Yeah.
He's trying to deceive you. But that's the intense thing, is that when you take a stand for Jesus, you'll be accused of deceiving people as well.
Yeah.
Look at John 10.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro. This is awesome.
Verse 19. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed. And raving mad, why listen to him? But others said, these aren't the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?
Mm-hmm.
So here you see the division another time. And you see something. These Jews, these religious people, intensely persecuted Jesus, even to the point where he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? Well, here they say a couple things. They say, he's demon-possessed. So what is that? Well, that's name calling. This guy's crazy. He's a demon. He's demon possessed. Then they say, he's raving mad. This is going after his character. This guy's character is jacked up. He's insane. And so when we're persecuted, here's what happens when somebody takes a stand like Jesus. People will call you names.
Yeah.
And they'll also attack your character. When they want to defame you, they'll say negative things about who you are.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's persecution.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Persecution is not, oh, I got shot, or my that's persecution too, but that is a very obvious persecution
right. That
most people won't do.
Yeah.
The persecution we deal with is people going after your character.
Okay. Yeah. That's right.
Calling you names, calling you crazy. Insulting you, those different things. That's what they did to Jesus. That's what they do to us too. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at the scope. Luke 23. So how far did it go? Verse 1. It says, then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ the King. So this is interesting. We're going to dissect this persecution right here by the Pharisees. They bring him, and what is their accusation? He is subverting our nation. Now, was Jesus subverting the nation?
No.
Why was he subverting the nation according to him? He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar. Is that true?
No.
Even Jesus says, give to Caesar what Caesar's, give to God what's God's.
Oh, bro.
Then it says, next, and claims to be Christ a king. Now, is that false or true?
True.
So what just happened right here? They took a lie and combined it with a truth.
Wow.
This is called a half-truth. This is one of the most prevalent forms of persecution on the internet about our group.
Yeah.
Half-truths.
Yeah.
So they'll say, for instance, they want to control you.
Yeah.
Because they try to change your life. And then somebody says, oh my gosh, they are trying to change my life. They must be trying to control me.
Wow.
Because they are trying to change my life. That's true. So I didn't see it, but I guess they are trying to control me. This is crazy. Now, are we trying to control people?
No.
Now, we do want them to follow Jesus, which means, is Jesus trying to control them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he is. You got to obey Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So Jesus is, but people will use half-truths about us
right. To
get other people to fall away or be persecuted. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. So Jesus, perfect Jesus, was persecuted, falsely accused, misunderstood by his family, ended up killed by religious leaders.
Crazy.
So what do you think will happen to you when you follow him?
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, if perfect Jesus was persecuted,
yeah. Then
we should probably get persecuted even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're not perfect.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If Jesus, who's perfect, got killed, we shouldn't be surprised if any of us gets killed for the faith.
Come on. Yeah.
And if Jesus was thought insane by his family and he was perfect, us imperfect children shouldn't be surprised when our family persecutes us too.
Come on, bro.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the first century church. Point two.
Come on, bro.
The first century church was persecuted. Acts chapter 5.
Preach it, bro.
Verse 17, it says, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. So there's your persecution, right? You get arrested and put in public jail. All right, let's go to 38. Then it says, here's Gamaliel speaking about these guys and giving them some advice. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail.
Amen.
But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You will only find yourself fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts in the house, and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
So here, the Jewish leadership arrests the apostles. Why? Because they were filled with jealousy. Is that intense?
Yeah.
See, as a small group, you don't get a lot of persecution. But when people start being added and the church starts growing, that's when some people get a little ticked. Because you're taking their people. Whether it's the religious campus, religious groups on campus, whether it's families, whether it's the former fellowship, whatever it might be, when people are losing, they get jealous, and then they start lashing out. Does that make sense? So, the persecuted Christians were suffering at the hands of people who thought they were doing God a favor. Does that make sense? So it's not like these people are like evil, mean, angry, bitter, like Grinches. You know what I mean? These were people who thought that they were doing the right thing. They sincerely thought that their persecution was correct. What does that mean? That the people who persecute us are not coming across as evil, mean, and angry, but they come across with very valid points that seem logical, yet they go against the Bible. What happens? The apostles even suffer physical mistreatment here, but did it stop them?
Nope.
Isn't this intense? They're flogged and then ordered not to speak about Jesus. And what do? Right as they leave. Right as soon as they get out.
Speak about Jesus.
Yep. It says they, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
This is the heart of our first century brothers and sisters, the apostles too. That even when the persecution came, nothing would stop them. And it's pretty cool to hear what Gamaliel said, that if it's from God, you'll only find yourself fighting God. And see, when we're aligned with God, we don't have any worries about what we're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If we're on God's side, nobody can stop us. Does that fire you up?
Yeah.
There's nothing. If they fight us, they fight God.
Right.
Think, wow, we're pretty lucky to be on the right side. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Chapter 28.
Great, bro. Keep it coming.
Verse 21. Since they replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you. And none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are. For we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. So this is, you know, really intense. Very end of the book of Acts, Paul goes to Rome. He meets some of the Jewish, you know, people there, the Jewish circle. And they say, you know what? We haven't heard anything bad about you from Jerusalem. But everywhere, people are talking against this sect. Sect literally means cult, guys.
Yeah.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
They were called cults. And everybody was talking against it.
Wow.
That should kind of fire you up a little bit. But you get to see something. That the church was highly controversial.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
There wasn't just everybody's like, oh wow, that's such an awesome church. People were talking against it everywhere. So you see, it's a controversial church. The church was called a sect. It was called a cult. So if we get called a cult, we're just imitating, possibly, the first century church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If we're not called a cult, we're not imitating them well enough.
Right.
And so since the International Christian Church's goal is to be just like the first century church, what's going to happen to us? The same thing.
Yep.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So if a church is not being persecuted, what does that imply? They're not following God. Amen?
Amen.
True.
Okay. Cause of persecution. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:16.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Mike.
Says verse 16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers.
Come on.
Okay. Two causes. Your life causes persecution. Second, your doctrine causes persecution. And as a disciple, those are the things we focus on, and those are the things, just like Jesus, that we will get persecuted on as well.
Right.
Life. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. Verse 3, it says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. And they heap abuse on you. Okay, this is what discipleship's all about in the world, especially on campus. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. You've chosen to lead the ways of sin.
Yeah.
Lust, debauchery, idolatry, partying. That's what carousing is. And when you leave that life, all your old friends and family start saying, what the heck is wrong with you here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's intense that some families wish their kids would go back to partying and getting drunk and being immoral.
Yeah.
And being a disciple. Isn't that intense? And why? Because the world feels condemned by those who no longer participate in sin.
Yeah.
You know, you're making the most awesome decision you've ever made in your entire life.
Come on. Yep.
And you would think everybody around you would love you and support you in it.
Nope.
Yeah.
But because they feel condemned by your decision, that incredible decision you're making is totally degraded and totally taken and just tried to be angrily abused as you make it.
Right.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
Because they feel condemned. And that's one of the ironies of discipleship. That is, you make this amazing, godly decision that literally the angels are rejoicing over. All your friends and family, for the most part, are upset, ticked off, and are doing everything in their power to keep you from doing it. Let's look at verse 12. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, thief, or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So, don't be surprised or ashamed when persecution comes your way. Amen?
Amen.
But just make sure you're persecuted for righteousness' sake.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Not because you're angry and mean and prideful whenever somebody tries to challenge you. You know what I mean? That's another form of persecution, but sometimes deserving. Amen?
Amen.
Make sure that you're righteous, loving, firm, love God, but that you're obeying the Bible. Amen?
It's true.
So that's your life. That's one thing. Second cost, your doctrine. Let's go to John 15.
Come on, bro.
Verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also.
Keep it real, bro.
If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is trying to encourage you too.
Yeah.
Look at chapter 16, verse 1. All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Amen?
Amen.
So, Jesus says, you're going to get persecuted for something else. For preaching the word. For preaching the doctrine of discipleship. People will hate you and they will want to kill you.
Amen.
Here Jesus says, persecution comes to those who preach the same message. Amen?
Amen?
And so Jesus warns that hatred is certain. He says that's for sure going to happen. But even death is a possibility.
Come on.
See, some people will even try to kill you, perhaps. And so here it's intense, especially back there in 16 verse 1. He says, I'm telling you this so you don't go astray.
Mm-hmm.
See, one thing that I think we sometimes in our arrogance think that we could easily handle is persecution.
Mm.
Like, oh, I got this one.
Oh. Mm.
Persecution, no sweat. Yeah. Bring it on, I'm fired up. But what happens is year after year, you know, person after person, even people we study with who turn on us and persecute us.
Yeah.
After a while, you start thinking, everybody's saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're right. Mm. And Jesus says, I'm telling you this so you don't go astray. See, one thing that caused our movement to crumble was that people started giving in to the persecution.
Yeah.
The religious world persecuted the church. And so, after a while, people start saying, maybe they're right. And guess what the church, those churches became like? Exactly like the people who persecuted.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
The singing went back to, let's just be okay. I mean, even, you know, just all these things, you're just like, wait, they look like the same churches that said all those negative things for so long. And for us guys, we got to be careful to never stray
yeah.
with the persecution. It keeps
Amen.
Coming
well,
year after year after year for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
That's why focus on God's word. Not on, why is everybody saying the same thing yeah. over and over again? Why? Because they're not disciples. Mm-hmm. They don't want to repent. And they're all going to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're trying to control me right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, I think that's in the Great Commission. Teach mm-hmm. them to obey everything I've commanded you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because people are so, you know, against that lifestyle, that persecution will come.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Okay. Let's keep going. Matthew 7. So preaching the word will cause persecution. The other thing that we're going to see causes persecution is the fact that there's a narrow road to salvation. Wouldn't it be nice if just every good person on earth went to heaven?
Yeah.
It'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The only problem is the Bible says that's not the case.
Yeah.
And if the Bible's the word of God, then we can't accept that kind of philosophy.
Yeah.
But part of me wants to believe, just be a good person and you'll make it. You know what I mean? Just how could God send a good person to hell? Well, just read your Bible and it explains it.
Right.
Okay, Matthew 7, verse 13. It says, enter through the narrow gates. For wide is the road. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is a gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Intense scripture, huh?
Yeah.
The road is narrow. Not a lot of people find it. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. A lot of scriptures in this one. It's Peter preaching to the Jewish leaders of his time. And in verse 12, chapter 4, Acts, it says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven which is under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.
Wow.
So here, this is talking about Jesus and saying there's no other road to salvation except the road of Jesus.
Wow. Right.
That's the only way. There's no other way to be saved.
Come on, bro.
So what does that do? This condemns atheists, polytheists, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, go on and on and on.
Wow.
Come on, bro.
That's a lot of people.
Come on, bro.
I mean, you think China is mostly Buddhist, and there's about a billion people there. India is mostly Hindu and Buddhist, and there's another billion right there.
Oh, bro.
Wow.
The road is narrowing.
Yeah, come on, Mike.
Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2.
Wow.
36-38. It says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so here, the question is, what do we do in response to Jesus' sacrifice? Well, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So what does that do? Well, that narrows it down even more. Because now, this means only an adult who is water baptized for the forgiveness of their sins is truly saved.
Yep.
So this truth condemns those who practice infant baptism.
Yep.
So boom, there's another billion right there, arguably.
Yep.
And it condemns praying Jesus into your heart as a means of salvation.
Right.
Wow.
So that takes out Catholics and Protestants, the majority of them right there. Everybody, actually.
Yeah.
So now let's go to Matthew 28. So the road is getting very narrow. And even here, it gets even narrower.
Come on, bro.
Says verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So here it says, go, make disciples, and then baptize those disciples. Amen. So only the person who makes the decision to be baptized as a disciple is saved.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so here, sometimes we think, well, why do we do all these studies if, you know, in Acts 2, they got baptized that same day. Philippian jailer made it, same night. Ethiopian eunuch, chariot ride. Even Paul's guys he met in Ephesus got baptized immediately when they found out they had to do it. But us, sometimes we take even, you know, a week to do these studies before somebody makes it.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Amen?
Amen.
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 And so here, the reason why is because there's so much false doctrine. That so many people have learned so many false things. You got to tear down old foundations before you build up new ones.
Yeah.
The Jews of their time in the first century, they already had the right foundation. They were set. All they had to do is believe in Jesus. Okay, he's God. Wow, that's crazy. Amen, I believe it. Okay, now I'm already moral and not giving in to lust and all these things. I understand what I need to do as a disciple. That all makes sense. Okay, let's do this.
Right, yeah.
That's basically it. But now you're like, okay, well, what about speaking in tongues? Okay, let's talk about that one. Okay, now, what about light and darkness? Okay, when were you? Oh, you're still in the light. Okay, but what about all the stuff we already? Okay, yep, you're still in darkness. It's intense.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they got to repent of their sins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're like, okay, if you really believe this, why are you not changing? Why are you still doing this? Or why are you not seeking God with all your heart?
Yeah.
Amen? Okay. So here, understanding, wow, now literally this has taken out people who have been baptized for remission of sins but haven't been made disciples before they were baptized. Instead, there was maybe after baptism even, if that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've studied with people like this who have even done the first principle studies but never called to obey the first principle studies.
Yeah.
So one of the guys that I was studying with, he went to another fellowship that taught all the first principle studies. He knew all the studies, and then they baptized him because he agreed with all the studies. But something was missing, so he comes over to the Chicago church. And so we do the kingdom study. I say, so this means you need to not go to your job on Sunday mornings and instead come to church.
Yes.
And he's like, really? I was like, yeah. They didn't tell you to do that? He's like, well, we agreed on it, but I never made the decision to do it.
Dang.
And I said, well, welcome to true discipleship.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And so here, it's not just about teaching people the right things. Guys, that's what we got to be careful of when you do these studies. You're not transferring knowledge into somebody else. It's a heart transfer of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You're giving them your heart.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're transferring the spirit into them, but first they've got to be a disciple and seek God with all their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just think, okay, teach them all the facts, they agreed with all the facts, they're ready to get baptized.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Their life has to be different. Their heart has to be different. They need to repent. They need to make Jesus Lord. Okay, now, time to get baptized.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Okay. So, for us guys, we don't condemn the lost. Like, we don't look down on them and think, what a bunch of idiots. Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Be careful of that one.
Come on, bro.
They're not worse than you.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
Amen?
Right.
Amen.
You were there before, too.
Yeah,
there were. So, we don't condemn them, but the Bible has already put it out who is right and who is wrong, who is lost and who is saved. Amen?
Yeah.
So here's what happens. When the lost are confronted doctrinally about where they're at, they'll do three things. They'll repent, they'll run away and never talk to you again, or they'll persecute you.
Yeah.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, bro.
Now, you guys are going to need these studies, so I hope you're taking notes, even though you're not going to be testing them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You bet.
Now, discipling, calling people to obey the word of God, like Jesus says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you.
Yeah.
That's viewed by the world as controlling.
Yeah.
Because why? Teaching somebody something is very easy. Hey, guess what? You got to do this. Oh, okay, cool, awesome. Now, teaching somebody to obey something, what does that entail?
Sacrificing.
What means accountability? Exactly. Sacrifice, yeah. I mean, sacrificing because you got to hold them accountable. But it means saying, hey, so we talked about this, you know? Like, for instance, reading your Bible every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about it, right? So how'd it go? Did you read your Bible today?
Come on, bro.
Ooh, this is controlling. You know what I mean?
Teach
you. Okay, we read about being a fisherman. How's it going sharing your faith? Oh, what do you mean? I mean, I agree with it, but I'm not ready to do it. Uh-oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being open. Hey, you got to be open. What? You got to call people and say, well, why don't you want to?
Right.
Okay, now you're trying to control me. No, I'm trying to teach you how to obey the
Amen.
Scriptures. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
People don't like when you teach them how to obey something. That's why you got to teach them how to be humble first. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. What's our attitude about persecution? Matthew 5.
Come on, bro.
Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted.
Come on, bro.
Amen, guys?
Yeah.
Let's stay focused. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, however. Or rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So here, guys, don't be afraid of persecution. We don't fear persecution.
Yeah.
We don't care what men think. We only care about what God thinks.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And so that's a freeing thing. And so people are going to persecute us, but we're fired up. It means we're blessed.
Yeah.
So what does it say? It says rejoice. Right? Verse 12.
Yep.
And be glad. So, why? Well, because that's what they've been doing for centuries and millennium, all leading up till today.
Yeah.
That's what happens for disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Me and Aaron, we were studying with this guy in Berkeley. And it was going awesome, and then he just stopped calling us, so we went over to his house. Because we're family, we care, right? And we knock on his door, and his mom comes out and starts cursing and yelling at us and screaming that she was going to call the cops. And then we see the guy we're studying standing behind her looking and we're like, he was literally like supposed to get baptized like the next day. And we were best friends. We're like, what's up, man? He's like, sorry, guys. And that was it. And his mom, and then his dad comes out, and they kick us off their property and say they're going to call the cops on us.
Wow.
And we were like, wow. Yeah. We were so fired up about him getting baptized. And it looks like plans change right now. And so we drove down the street a little bit, and we got out of the car, and we read Matthew 7. And there's another one in Luke that says you got to jump, leap for joy when this happens.
Right.
So we got out of the car and we said, we're going to leap for joy right now. We just got persecuted. And we jumped and we're like, yeah!
Then the girls in the episode
because we got to obey the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen?
Come on, bro.
When we get persecuted, guys, it needs to fire us up. Amen? And not get down and discouraged and wonder why our family is treating us so weird or our friends don't talk to us anymore or even people we're studying with start thinking that we're totally these demonic, crazy lunatics. That's what they did to Jesus. We got to be fired up too. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go to Ephesians 6.
Come on, bro.
Thank you.
Verse 10. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen?
Amen.
Here, ultimately, persecution is not about people, it's about Satan.
Yeah.
It's not a struggle against people that we're in. It's Satan using people who are not aligned with God to attack us. And that is his means for the spiritual battle we fight.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're warriors in a spiritual battle. And we're fighting against an enemy that's way bigger than just somebody on this earth that, as a human being. It's a spiritual dark force. Isn't that intense? And so the only thing that will really give you victory is God, and his spiritual armor will give you victory over this world. Amen?
Amen?
So the conclusion is that the International Christian Church is a controversial church. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
That should fire you up.
Yeah.
I get fired up. We're controversial.
Come on, bro.
Awesome.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad we're shaking things up because it needs to get shaken up right now.
Right.
Come on, bro.
And so some people call us a cult.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm fired up about that.
Come on, bro.
Because that's what they call the first century church.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And if people are scared of us because of that, then they don't really want to follow Jesus anyway.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Talk about it.
Some accuse us of brainwashing and mind control because we call people to obedience of the scriptures.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad that somebody who doesn't want to be a disciple has a way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
And so there's a lot of false rumors. There's a lot of half-truths that are out there. Amen. That's what happened to Jesus.
Come on. Yeah.
And anybody who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted.
Yeah.
So, even the internet has slandered the ICC. And yet, really the fact is, people's lives have radically changed in this church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
And marriages have been healed.
Yeah.
Drug addicts have been freed. The poor have been fed and cared for.
Amen.
And the movement is rapidly growing. Every 6 hours, somebody else is added to the kingdom.
Awesome.
Is that awesome? Across the world.
Wow.
So here, and we're still pretty small, guys. So it's spreading around the world in this generation, just like it did in the first century as well. So here, guys, it's awesome to be a part of God's church, and even with it comes all the persecution. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's the conclusion of the study.